Are you a clinician in primary care who wishes there were better resources to help you understand how to navigate the concept of triage in modern general practice? We'll boost your triage skills with our dynamic 5-session live webinar course tailored for primary care clinicians. Led by myself and Dr. Ed Pooley from Difficult Conversations, this comprehensive training covers all facets of remote patient triage, whether that be digital, on-call, or other opportunities. Through this course, you'll gain practical knowledge, exclusive hints and tips, and direct access to myself and Ed through open Q&A sessions of the course. Elevate your ability to manage primary care challenges effectively and confidently, and most importantly, safely. Register now to transform your triage approach at bit.ly/GP triage course, the GP in capitals, and we will definitely catch you then.
So I just got the ABM 84 keyboard from EpoMaker, and let's have a little look at it, shall we? This is the box it's come in. Pretty standard, to be honest. Nice size, but let's have a look, shall we? So opening it up. Bit tricky. Ooh, interesting. Nice little cover there. And when we take that off, a lovely yellow keycap cover. And inside is the keyboard in this kind of matte cellophane bag. Are you ready for this? There we go. So I've been sent the pastel white version, as you can see here. It's got the 84 keys. It's got the rotary pad at the top. I did prefer the look of the black and red version of this. I do think it looks a bit snazzier, to be honest. But it looks pretty nice. It feels quite heavy. It's got definitely some heft to it, and reminds me a lot of the old IBM style keyboards that we used to have. It's also got inside various stuff, so it's got its cabling and stuff, as well as instructions that we've got there. Let's have a look inside the box in terms of the cables. So we've got a USB-C cable, as well as a keycap puller, and oh, some extra keycaps. Some funky ones as well. Ooh, I like that little joystick one there. Can you see that? And we've got a nice little escape button that looks like a joypad. And a couple of extra ones as well. Nice. So I'll do a proper review and let you know how I get on from there. Hey GP learners. So I've spent a week with this lovely little AMB 84 keyboard, and I find it really useful at times. There's definitely parts I like about it, there's parts I'm not so keen on, and I'm going to cover all that for you, information for you right now in this episode. So let's go, shall we? So the keyboard itself is plastic cased compared to some of the other keyboards you may see nowadays. But I actually quite like that. It does have a little bit of flex, but not so much because of other stuff that's inside it. And it does have a steel plate inside. So it does have a reasonable amount of heft with it compared to some other ones. So if you compare that, for example, to my K870T, which many of you probably seen in my previous videos, it's definitely heavier than that. It's similar in sense to the AK84, which is a keyboard I've talked about previously. This is an aluminium housed keyboard, so because of that it is a bit lighter, and this has definitely a lot less flex in comparison to the AMB84. But I must admit, I quite like the build of this in terms of it's pretty sturdy, and it does what it should do. It's got 84 keys, and I do like that, and particularly for primary care, that's really important. So the fact it's got a separate key layout for the F12 keys in particular, which in general practice we use a lot of with System 1 and stuff, so that's a real plus for me. This one, as I mentioned in the earlier part, is an ANSI keyboard, so it's an American layout. I do wish it had the ISO layout, the UK style, but that's not a big thing, to be honest. Once you get used to them, it's pretty easy to do so. The obvious thing in terms of the layout itself that does stand out, as you can tell, are the extra buttons here at the top. So you've got these two little buttons here and the knob. We'll come back to these, but the knob itself, awesome. It allows you to change the volume really easily and effectively. If you press and hold down, you can change the backlighting in terms of the keyboard as well. It does suggest you can change the programming of the key knob to do additional functions. I've really struggled to do that with the software, and that is one of my comments about it, and we will come back to that in particular. But generally speaking, it's nice to turn it on in terms of the volume on and off using the key knob itself. So that works really, really well. In terms of connections, it's really important to know how it's going to connect to your PC. So it has a USB-C port, as you can see on this side. For me, that's not been a great thing. I would have preferred it to be on the opposite side just because all my cabling's on this side of my desktop. But for other people, that may be perfectly fine. It comes with a threaded USB-C cable, which works really, really well, and it does the job. In terms of other connections, it does connect through Bluetooth, and the connection's nice and strong. It also connects through 2.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi, as you can see here with its additional USB adapter. And the fact that you can put that way into the keyboard is great for portability. Since we're looking at the base, you can see it's also got little stands on either side. So this is set at the medium height. You can increase that to be at full height, as you can see there. So that's the difference in terms of the full height versus the medium height. And that obviously leads to a difference when it's lying flat. I prefer the medium height personally. I find that works better for me. But it's very much based on what you prefer for your own practice and stuff. Next, let's talk about the keycaps themselves. So they are PBT type plastic. So that's the type that doesn't really rub or fade depending on your use and stuff, compared to the ABS, which is a bit softer, kind of shinier type of material, but that the keycaps can fade. So I do like the fact it's PBS. Easy to wipe down as a result of that. It is its own styling in terms of the shape of them. So if you have a look at the cross section there, you can see that it is a slightly different covering compared to most normal keyboards. There you go. That is a slight issue in terms of if you want to use alternate keycaps, and I do like changing them sometimes to be a bit more vibrant and stuff. So just to be aware, that will have an impact on the types of keycaps you can purchase. Speaking of the colour, I mean, it's beautiful, to be honest. Nice pastel basing, so it does look like the old classic kind of IBM style keyboards and things. It does have an alternate version that's like a black and red. I think that looks beautiful. I really wish I'd had that one because actually it's quite nice. We're going to have a quick look at the switches and the stabs now. So that's the types of keys inside the actual keyboard and the stabilizers. Important to note, they are pre-looped, so we'll come to that in that part. So let's have a look at that, shall we, right now. So if we're going to have a look at the keycaps, you will need a keycap puller, which is what this device is. It also comes with a key switch puller, which is the separate kind of pincer. But effectively, to use this, you place it over the keycap, press down a little bit, twist and then hold onto the keyboard and pull, and it will come off. As you can see, we've got the Gatron yellow key switches. These are really silent and linear style, so they're quite smooth and stuff. And this also has north-facing RGB lighting, which basically means that it comes from the top end and stuff. Some people prefer north-facing, some people prefer south-facing. It does depend on your personal preference, but generally thought south-facing is a little bit better because it shines through the whole keycaps. Less of an issue given that these are PBT and they don't have shine through coming through with them, but if you were to use them, then that is a factor. If we now have a look at one of the other keys, so we're going to have a look at the shift key. So this comes with pre-lubed stabilizers. What does that mean? Well, these are the stabilizers on the side, and they allow for the key function to work basically smoother. Because they're pre-lubed, it is much smoother than a standard keyboard, and that therefore makes it a nice experience. And it's not too bad, to be honest. I don't feel you need to add any additional lubrication and stuff to them, but it works quite well. So the stabilizers are pretty nice and stuff and stable, and as you can see, well solidified. To switch it back on, just simply put and press. There you go, back on. Let's do the same with the H key. So just simply place it and press. And there you go. Oh, well, I put it the wrong way around, haven't I? Well, let's change that, shall we? And as you can see, it's a fairly quick and simple process just to switch them around. To show you the RGB, I have just connected it, and this can show you the backlighting that you can see. To cycle through the different settings, you press function, and one of the six buttons here, which cycles through the different settings. So if we go to that, you've got one type. This is pressing on, which is my preferred one because I don't like too much RGB. Or you can have the whole thing on, or you can cycle through different aspects. Switching it on and off, depending on which cycle you prefer, what type of RGB you like as well. Various different options, as you can see. And it depends on your colouring and stuff that you like. So that's a quick look at the internal parts. Now let's have a look at what the keyboard actually sounds like. So let's just go for a quick sound test. A little bit of rattle there since I've just changed the stabilizers. nice and solid. And just for comparison, I'm going to show you that compared to my K87T. So this is a tactile key switch K87T. As you can tell, a lot more rattle. These aren't moved. And you can tell the noticeable dip in terms of the changes with the tactile switches in comparison. Now let's have a listen to them both together. So first the ABM. As you can tell, a noticeable difference due to that pour-on foam that sits within the keyboard itself. So what did I think? So as you can tell, this keyboard has a definite different sound compared to other types of keyboards. So what do I think? It's a nice, handy little keyboard, great build, and it does type pretty well. I must admit, it's very smooth, and the reduction in sound is a definite positive, particularly when you're doing things like telephone consultations in a clinical consultation. I found this much harder for patients to hear when I'm typing as a result of it, particularly with the linear keys. Important to note, I haven't tried it with clicky. There are a couple of niggles I have with it. So it does have this weird thing that when you're charging it through the USB-C cable, it makes a noise as it's charging. Now, it's really low-pitched kind of sound, but it's definitely noticeable. And I had to check a couple of times just to make sure it wasn't some kind of like weird thing going off. So it is important to be aware of that. It does go away once the keyboard is fully charged. Secondly, as I mentioned, it has these two buttons here. And despite what I can try and figure out, I have no idea what they do. There's nothing in the instruction manuals, there's nothing in the details of what these actually do, and even going through the software, I still can't figure out what they do. I really found it hard to program. That might be because the additional software to key map these, to be honest, is a little bit complicated. Now, I'm no expert on using these types of software, but I could not figure out how to use them effectively. I spent a good half hour trying to do so. It is its own proprietary software, and in terms of instructions, I couldn't find anything to help me understand how to use it. So that was a slight annoyance. In terms of mapping key colors and stuff, worked dead easy, but figuring out how to map the keys themselves into different things, like I like to do with macros and that kind of stuff, I really struggled, and for that reason, I really didn't like the software. Overall though, if you're looking for a simple keyboard that will do the job in terms of giving you great aesthetics, great feel, and also effective function, particularly for general practice, and that pour-on foam, that is awesome in terms of noise reduction. It's not a bad buy, to be honest. And actually, I would suggest it's something to consider getting, particularly for general practice use in the linear keycaps. Don't go for clicky and stuff. But actually, it's not bad. I think if I had the choice between this and the K870, it's 50-50. The quietness of this keyboard does eke it out a little bit. However, if it's come down to cost differential, the K870 is on offer, which sometimes it can be at £35 alone. For me, that's a bargain. You cannot beat that in terms of equality and effect. If you're the type of person that likes your number keypads, this isn't for you. But as I mentioned before, I don't think you need number keypads in general practice. So if you found that really useful and effective, let me know what you think. So I do really like this keyboard, but I am going to be giving this away. The reason for that, I'll come to that in a second, but if you want this keyboard, this particular keyboard, stick a comment down below and let me know what your favorite feature of what I've shown you has been about this particular keyboard, and I'm going to send it to you. The reason why I'm sending it, well, I'm actually expecting its big brother. I have backed that on Kickstarter. That's the TK96. It's a 96 key keyboard, and I'm really looking forward to it. And if this is what the AMB84 is like, I'm expecting really cool things from the TK96. So if you want to check out that review, have a look at this one if it's already come out. Alternately, you can check out its younger brother, the GK96, which is my home keyboard that I use and why I like it so much. And as we tech enhance your primary care and learning. Hello there, EGP learner. I'm Dr. Gandalf, and I often get asked, what kind of resources do you have to try and help those using EMIS? Because you tend to do a lot more stuff for System 1. And often I've really struggled to answer that question because, let's be honest, I don't use EMIS on a regular basis. So therefore, trying to help EMIS users is a little bit more difficult for myself. And that really made me feel, well, not great. So I kind of did something to try and help all those EMIS users out there. I went and had a chat with one of my colleagues, Dr. Mike from GP on the Move, and him and I have created a course that you can use to help you use EMIS so much better. That's right. If you use EMIS, but you want to use it so much better, so much quicker, and in such a way that means you go home sooner, then check out our EMIS for Clinicians course. It's an online course that takes you through all the tips and tricks that Dr. Mike knows to try and basically mean you can go home quicker. That'd be a cool thing, wouldn't it? And guess what? It's currently on offer. So if you want to take advantage of this introductory offer and get access to it now, look at the links down below and check it out. Additionally, if you're a practice, network, or wide area that wants more opportunity to use it, send me an email, egplearning@gmail.com. Let's see if we can help you out. And as I like to say, tech enhance your primary care and learning. Shall we get back to it? Oh, and if you wanted one for System 1 users, well, you know I've got you covered, haven't I? Check out the Learn System 1 for Clinicians course, bit.ly/TPP S1 course.